I have a question for you guys. Father, bless these words. I have a question for you guys. What do you want in your life? What do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? You know what I want? Ever since I became a Christian, I said to God, in all things, keep me in your perfect will. When I was first in Bible college, my first year, first semester, I was going to take a trip with our director of missions to several countries in South America. And the day before I was going to go, I developed a very bad infection in my face. And the doctor said, you can't go anywhere for 24 hours. Because if you do, and you go into South America, this could kill you. And he said, it might go away. And he gave me medicine, but he said, but it might not. And if it doesn't, and you can't get medical care, it could kill you. So I didn't go. It got worse. And I needed medical care. And I wound up laid up in bed for a week because it actually, the thing turned systemic. And I asked God, I said, God, I'm a young Bible college guy. And this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Why can't I go? And God answered me. By the way, God speaks to anybody who's willing to listen. And God answered me, and He said, I can't use you until I break you. And then He showed me the passage about where Jesus broke the Last Supper, the bread. And He says, this is my body, eat thereof. We eat the body of Christ. And He showed me where Jesus had broken the bread and fed 5,000, although He only had a few loaves. Five loaves, right? Five loaves, and He fed 5,000. He said to me, I can't use you until I break you. There are people in our ministry who God will use in a tremendous way. Your lives are going to be extraordinarily meaningful, and you will get the desires that you have. You will get the riches in dark places. You will get the will of God. If that is your desire. But realize something. Riches in dark places require dark places. But the riches are immense. Now, I have been, that was almost 23 years ago. And ever since then, I've been in a breaking process from God. Now, that's not all bad, but it's a breaking process. Until God breaks the believer, God can't use him. What is God going to break? This may sound terrible, but it's not. He's going to break your heart, and then He's going to break your will. You see, Jesus said, Thy will, Father, not mine be done. As He was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He asked for that to pass from Him so that He could get to the cross. But He said, Thy will, Father, not mine be done. The things that you desire in your life will come, but they will come when God breaks you. Jesus told Peter at the end of the Gospel of John, Peter, when you were a young man, you clothed yourself and you would go where you would. But now, when you are older, Peter, and I'm telling you what's going to happen to you. When you are older, another will clothe you, and he will lead you where you're to go. The person who has the ability to select their own way is the immature believer. Jesus said, I don't say anything, I don't do anything that I have not received from my Father. Now that was the Savior. I don't say anything and I don't do anything that I have not received from my Father. That was a mature believer. You see, the world tells you you have to be strong, you have to make your own way, you have to make your choices. The world is lying to you. How can someone with a sick head and faint heart, as Isaiah put it, make their own choices? I don't know tomorrow. I don't know the entirety of the plan. I don't know anything. And the person, Paul said, who thinks they know anything, knows nothing as they ought. You get a lot of believers nowadays who think they know something, but the Bible says, if you think you know something, you know nothing. Now, one of the things that I find fascinating, I showed one of my classes this a few weeks ago. This is a video about how vision works, how sight works. This was a good program from the Discovery Channel. Good scientific video. And one of the things they said is we see, but we only see pieces. And then we see the pieces, but we actually think we're seeing the whole thing, but we're not. We only see pieces. And then our brain takes the pieces and it fills in the gaps. This is why the Word of God says the just will live by faith. This is why the Word of God says that we need a covering of the body, a covering of a pastor teacher, the proper order in our lives. Because we see, but we only see pieces. And then our brain fills in the gaps. The trouble with that, though, is that we don't have all knowledge. We don't have all understanding. We don't have foreknowledge. We don't know the end from the beginning. So I can't lean on my own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord in all your ways and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because my understanding is insufficient. I don't have the faculties to predict the future. I don't have the faculties to know my own heart. When John and James wanted to call fire down on those who opposed them, Jesus said, you don't even know your own spirit. You don't know the spirit you're of, he said. So I can't lean on my own understanding. So what do I lean on? I lean on the Word of God. I lean on the Holy Spirit. And I lean on my covering. Because I can't lean on my own understanding. Why? I'm filling in gaps that I don't know. That's why. Now in your vision, you can't tell that you're filling in gaps that you don't know. It all looks very solid. It all looks very clear. But you see things that are not there. And you don't see things that are. Because this is the way our vision works. This is the way sight works. We see things that are not there. And then we don't see things that are. Not until my frame of reference becomes the Word of God in the quickening of the Holy Spirit where I start actually seeing as things actually are. And that will not come until I know the love of God. Now in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19, the Word of God says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope. Now, let's go into the original language just a little bit. The bringing in the original language, is episegogi. And it means the bringing in or introducing of something. So what did the law do? The law wasn't there for us to be justified by. The law was there to introduce something. The law was there to introduce a better. And the word better is kriton. And it means better in value, in dignity, more noble and more excellent. The word did, the better hope, the word did is not in the original language. It's not actually there. That was added later. So what it's saying, but the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of something better, of a better, by the which we draw nigh. And that means to come near or to bring near unto God. Every person who is going to be used by God, every person whose life will have meaning, is going to be a person who God will break. Horses. Can you ride a horse? Is a horse useful that is not broken? Is that a useful horse? It's not a useful horse. It's just a horse. But a horse that has been broken is a horse that has tremendous value and worth. God will break your heart. Why? So that the treasure that He has placed in your heart can be shed abroad from your heart. God says He sheds the love of God abroad. He pours love into your heart, His love. And then it pours out of your heart unto other people. But it will not happen until you have been broken. It will not happen until you have been broken. The things that happen in your lives are there to break you. You think you're in warfare, spiritual warfare. You think perhaps that you are in some kind of a difficulty or trial, and you may well be. But what is God's purpose in it? It is there to break you so that His love can be poured into you and then can be poured out of you. Do you realize that without brokenness you cannot have God's love pouring into you? Do you realize this? If you are never broken, God's love cannot be poured into you. If you are never broken, God's love can't be poured out of you. He has to break us before He can use us. God will break your will. Why? Because you don't have all knowledge. We come with a will of the old sin nature. We come with a will of natural reasoning and natural understanding. We don't come with a will that says, nevertheless, thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy will be done, not mine. I'll tell you something. If you want the things that you say you want, if you were honest in your answer, then you need to be broken. If you're not broken, you can't receive those things. I wanted God's will in all things. And God said, I have to break you to use you. I have to break you to use you. Now, after more than 2 decades of that, I can tell you one thing. There's really nothing that I know that God doesn't tell me. I have 6 college degrees. The more I learn, the less I know. There's nothing that I know that God doesn't tell me. I'll tell you one more thing. There's nothing that I can rely on except the promises of God. That's all there is. There's nothing I can rely on except the promises of God. I can't rely on people. I can't rely on things. I can't rely on my own reasoning. But I can rely on the promises of God. Why? Because God is true. God is faithful. And God is true. People who think they can rely on something other than that are people who would gird themselves and go their own way. This is why God gave so many of them. This is why in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit leads you in all truth. This is why in Isaiah 43, the Word of God says, I will show you things before they come. Because there's nothing that I can rely on except the promises of God. You see, the natural way of thinking doesn't like this. The natural way of thinking doesn't know God. I have one comforter. And He'll draw me to Himself. And how will He draw me to Himself? With His life, with His love, with His faithfulness towards His promises. That's all there is. You see, you can try very hard, but you'll go nowhere. Now, the world will teach you if you work hard, you will succeed. Maybe. But I also know people who work very hard, and they never succeed. They tell you to have lots of money. They say, go to college, get a good education, so you can get a good job, so you can have lots of money. Why? So you can pay lots of bills. That's why. But you know what? I remember years ago I met a man in Baltimore. In the morning, he had $10 million. In the evening, he had about 10 cents. He couldn't rely on his riches. You can't rely on the natural way of doing things. You have to trust the Lord in all your ways and lean not unto your own understanding. When I trust in the Lord in all my ways, then I'll start to draw nigh unto God in James chapter 4, 8, in the 8th part of the verse, and He starts to draw nigh unto me. You see, in Hebrews 7, the perfect, but the law made nothing perfect, that word there is teleo. And is the root of that word is the same as the word tetelestai that Jesus used in John chapter 19 when He said, it is finished. The law in the original language made nothing complete or mature. And nothing was completed. The teleo, that means to complete, to make perfect by reaching an intended goal. Nothing was completed by the efforts of the natural man to gain his own way, to gain pleasing status to God. Nothing was completed in that. You see, that's all the law is. It's just another means of me gaining the way of my natural reasoning, but that makes nothing complete. Nothing becomes mature that way. See, if I lean on my own understanding, I can't become a mature believer. And that's why God has to break me. He has to break me of leaning on my own understanding so that He can break my will. You see, we think of breaking my will as a bad thing. Oh, but you know what? My personal will has never done me any favors. My personal will has not given me eternal life. My personal will didn't even make me alive physically. What did my personal will usually gets me in trouble. That's where that goes. But come unto God, and He gives you a better hope. Better, more dignified. Better, a greater quality. A more excellent way. Hope. Hope there is elpis in the original language. And it means a confident expectation and anticipation of something good. You see, it's the same kind of word that's used for faith. It's a confident assurance, not a hope like wishful thinking, but I hope because I know something is coming, and so I have hope. You sit and you wait for dinner. And you have hope for dinner because you know dinner's been made and dinner is coming. That's different than hoping it's going to be good. That's like a wishful thinking. But that's what the hope is. You know it's coming. And so you wait with confident expectation and an anticipation that God will do something good for you. Hebrews says that they that come to God must believe that He's a rewarder of them that seek Him. And so I come to God and I anticipate my reward. By the which we draw nigh unto God. That word by is an interesting word. It's bia in the original language. It's a preposition denoting the channel of an act. So it's saying, by the means of this better hope, I come unto God. Because I have a better hope with Him. I found something. Whatever God chooses for me is better than what I chose for myself. Whatever God chooses for me is better than what I choose for myself. I found that to be true. Whatever God chooses for me is better than what I would choose for myself. Why? Because He's all-knowing. He's got wisdom I can't even begin to comprehend. He has the mind to design a universe. What do I have? I have sight that the brain has to fill in the gaps because I can't really see. Sometimes it fills them in this way and sometimes it fills them in that way. But I can't really see. But if I come to God, He draws near to me. That's the thing. If I come to God, He draws near to me. What is it that you said you wanted? If I come to God, He draws near to me. Matthew 11:28. In the breaking process, it can become very difficult. And the trials can become very difficult. And it can become very tired. It can be extremely exhausting. And sometimes it can be outright painful. But I'll tell you something. The Savior said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You see, we try to make things in our lives so complicated because we are torn between the will of God and the will of self, and things become very complicated. Things are actually very simple. I come and I want Christ, and things become very simple. I take self out of the picture. And then I say, "God, Your will, not mine, be done." And things become very simple. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And that yoke is a yoke of learning. Become a disciple. Become my pupil. Submit yourself to the order of God. Why? "Learn of me, and you will find rest unto your souls." You know why I don't have rest unto my soul? Because I'm not properly ordered. toward God's teaching and God's order. I think I know because I lean on my own understanding. But the Word of God says, if I think I know anything, I don't know anything at all as I ought. And so I come unto God and I submit myself to His order. I get wrapped up in a local assembly. I get hidden under the pastor teacher that God calls me to. And I submit myself to God's order. And I find rest unto my soul. You see, when I do it my way, things are very difficult because I carry the burdens. When I do it God's way, He carries the burdens for me. I have no burdens. He says, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. That's nothing offensive. That means I will be gentle and kind toward you, and I will not treat you with arrogance or hardness. Come unto God and He's gentle and kind toward you. He will not treat you as insignificant. He will not treat you as not mattering. He will not treat you as one who is not really loved, because He died for you. If the Father did not withhold His own Son, Paul said, what's He going to withhold from you now? He'll give you every good and perfect gift, but He won't give you according to your flesh. He will give you according to His desires for you, because that's the good and perfect gift. I can't choose as well as He can. If I was choosing, I wouldn't be here. If I was choosing, I wouldn't have met any one of you. When I first came out here, I said, God, are you sure this is where you want me? I was an hour away. And He said, yep, just like that. I said, yep, that's where I want you. If I was choosing, I would have never met you. God chose. God chose. Not that I don't care about you guys. I do. But I didn't know. I didn't know. That's the problem. We don't know. This is why all I have is God's promises. Because I don't know. Robertson said something very good about this. He said, Matthew 11:28-30 are not in Luke, and are among the special treasures of Matthew's gospel. No sublimer words exist than this call of Jesus to the toiling and the burdened. It says, pephoristomenoi is a perfect passive participle, and it's a state of weariness. I have present and continuing weariness, and I received it. Now, no sublimer words exist than this call of Jesus to the toiling and the burden to come to Him. He towers above them as He challenges us, I will refresh you. Now, He further points out that I will refresh you is not what we must not carry the same connotation as the English language in the original. The actual connotation is something to the effect of God causes us to become deeply refreshed and reinvigorated. And that's what we get when we come unto Him. You see, when I'm in trouble, when I go through the process, when I go through the trial, when I go through the breaking, I turn to the love of God. And when I turn to the love of God, Hebrews 4:16, the Word of God says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly, it says, to the throne of grace, and you will find help in your time of need. In Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and you shall live. Incline your ear. How do I come unto God? How do I come unto God? I incline my ear. I think it's interesting that I incline my ear because the Bible says when I speak to Him in prayer, He inclines His. And God says, incline your ear and hear. Incline your ear and hear. That's how you come unto me. And your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. How do I come unto God? I come unto His Word. I come unto the order that He has established. And I hear His Word, and my soul shall live. And I will receive the sure mercies of David. You come unto God, and you receive God's mercy. Do you understand what that means? Stay apart from God's way of doing things and you separate yourself from mercy. Do things God's way and you walk into mercy. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And this is the same hope that is the better hope. This is that confident expectation and anticipation that God is going to bring something good my way. And it's not a wish, it's a heart knowing. And this is my hope. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek was the pre-law order. It wasn't according to the doing. It was according to knowing Him. But it was not according to the doing. You see, the only way I can do this, the only way I can go through this breaking process, the only way I can turn to Him is if I know that He loves me. If I know, like 1 Corinthians 13:8 says in the A part of the verse, that His love never fails. See, in verse 11 of that chapter, I think one of my favorite passages of the Scriptures, one of those that causes me to ponder and ponder and ponder and ponder. Listen to this. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Peter, when you are young, you will gird yourself and go where you will. But when you have come into maturity, another will gird you and take you where you would not go. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I am become a man, when I am matured, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. What do you want? You want to see Jesus? You want His will? You want riches in dark places? You want to know Him? Put away the childish things, and you will see Him face to face. See, this is why I say that the only way that I can live, really, is by the promises of God. Why? Because that's where I meet Him face to face. That's where I will meet Him face to face. When God first met man, He gave him a provision and He gave him a promise. And so, this is how I live. The heart is broken, the will is broken, but the promises are given. And every promise of God that God gives is yea and amen. And whatever He has said, all those thousands of promises, He will bring them all to pass. He will bring them all to pass. You see, God's for you. He really is. God's for you. He doesn't reject you. He doesn't get annoyed or angry. He's for you. Oh, He may not like something I do, but that doesn't mean He doesn't like me. This is why He'll correct me. Personally, I learned it's much better for me to listen quickly than to listen slowly. That's why Paul said, be quick to hear, but slow to speak. I listen quickly. Why? Because then I come under God's order. Then I come under God's order. And in God's order, I find God's provisions. And in God's provisions, I find my life. What are the provisions that God gives? His promises. You see, He told me 23 years ago, I can't use you until I break you. He gave me a promise. He said, I'll break you, but I'll also use you. If I wanted to be used, I had to be broken. If I didn't want to be broken, I couldn't be used. This is true of every believer. There is not a believer on earth who can be used by God without being broken. The question is, are you willing? Christians, are you willing? Now, I think the people here are. But for every believer, the question is, are you willing? Will you say to God, nevertheless, thy will be done, not mine? Will you allow another to gird you and take you where you would not go? If you want to know the supernatural in your life, God's life in you, that's the price. See, salvation is for free. Love is not earned. Grace is not earned. But a life with God comes at a price. So, what am I willing, God? Are you willing to go where He will take you? Or are you only willing up to the point of your own understanding and natural desires? You see, the provision, this I learned, what God gives is better than what I can produce. God's ways are better than my ways. God's life is better than self-life. God's hope is better than man's hope. God's love is perfect. And so I go wherever He will take me. And it will cost me, but the gain is so much greater. I can tell you this from experience. The gain is so much greater.